Thank you, Tim. Do you want to come up here? Would you prefer? It's fine with me.
Can you guys hear me? Okay, here we go. All right. All right, I want to thank you guys for coming out to worship God together. It's an honor to here to be with you and to learn with you. And I just pray that God's word may touch your heart. And we just continue to grow and learn together. So as Steve said, it is going to be my last week here. I luckily found a job in Markham. I was praying and seeing where God wanted me to go. And he opened this door. So I thank you for my time here and learning from you guys. I've felt such love and felt such welcomeness from you guys. And I just want to thank you. And I love to call you my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm really glad that God let me cross paths with you in my faith walk. So we're going through a sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and we're trying to answer the question whether they're relic or whether they're relevant. So although the Ten Commandments are found in the Old Testament, they're still very applicable today. And today we're going to be going over the commandment of do not covet. So when I refer to covet, I just mean jealousy. So if I use jealousy, covet, or envy, those are all interchangeable words. They mean the same thing ultimately. So a few days ago, I was playing a card game at home with my family. A few of my siblings gathered together around the table. I was shuffling the cards, and we're dealing cards out. And in this game, you're dealt 10 cards, right? Dealt 10 cards, and in order to win the game, you need to get rid of all those 10 cards. And the way to get rid of those 10 cards is you need to collect a run or a set. So a run is pretty much anything in order, at least three. So it could be a 3, a 4, a 5, or it could be a 10, a jack, a queen, and they have to be the same suit. All right, so that's a run. A set is if you have triple or four of the same. So let's say you had 3 jacks or 4 kings, then you can place it down. So we're playing this card game, and something really strange started happening. Guess what it was? I started losing, and that's a surprise, because usually I don't usually lose at card games. You can ask Steve. I'm kidding, I lose quite a bit, but I was losing 3 times in a row, and I start to get really skeptical. I was like, something's up. I'm losing, I'm playing. I usually win, but this time I lost 3 times in a row. And what happened was my brother got a run, a 10, a jack, a queen, a king, an ace, all of hearts, first round. I was like, okay, lucky shot. Second round, he gets a 10, jack, queen, king, ace, hearts, same thing. Third round, he gets the same run. And I was saying, okay, something's up, because he just got the same thing 3 times in a row, and he's beating all of us. So I started to ask myself, okay, who's shuffling this deck? Because clearly the person dealing the cards does not know how to shuffle. And it was funny, because I looked at my hands, and I was the guy shuffling for those 3 rounds. And I'm not trying to help him win. I'm trying to do the exact opposite. So something was wrong with my shuffling. And then it occurred to me, life is a lot like a game of cards. If life was like a game of cards, sometimes we're dealt certain things that we have no control over. Sometimes you're born into a certain family. Sometimes you're gifted with a certain body type. Sometimes you're gifted with a certain type of skill. Sometimes you're born to a social, a particular social status in society. So you don't have control over what cards you're dealt, but you do have control over what you make of it. So if life was like a game of cards, sometimes you look at your hand and you feel like you just can't win. If life was like a game of cards, sometimes you look at other people's hands, and you look at their lives, and you feel as though they were dealt a perfect set. You feel as if life was rigged against you, as if it's in their favor. You look at their hands, and sometimes you get jealous. You start to envy, you start to covet. And if life was like a game of cards, you may question and be tempted to ask, who's dealing these cards? And it would be God that's dealing the cards. So in this card game, I started to get a little frustrated. I wasn't mad, but I was frustrated because I understand it's just a card game. So rather than enjoying the card game, I started to get competitive and a little bit frustrated, but not mad because I know it's a card game. But sometimes in real life, you start to get frustrated and you start to get mad. It starts to accumulate based on what you don't have and what you see other people have. So what is coveting or what is jealousy? So if I could put into simple terms, a simple definition, I would say that jealousy or coveting is seeing what you don't have, seeing what others have, and letting that drive you to despair. Seeing what you don't have, seeing what other people have, evaluating the difference, and then letting that drive you nuts or letting you drive to despair or being consumed with jealousy, letting it take over your emotions, letting it take over who you are. And it's easy for us to get jealous, right? That's why it's one of the commandments. It's very easy to get jealous. It's easy for the less wealthy to envy those who are more wealthy. It's easy for those who feel that they're ugly and they're not pretty to envy those that are beautiful. It's easy to feel like if you're weak, you really envy the strong people or the people you believe or you deem to be strong. But the funny thing is it goes both ways. The people who are beautiful, they envy people who are more beautiful. The people who are strong, they envy people who are more strong. And even if you believe someone to be more beautiful than you, even the beautiful people envy those who may be deemed as less attractive. Maybe this person is deemed less attractive, but they got a wonderful marriage going on. And this person who's deemed beautiful, they got a terrible marriage going on. So it goes back both ways. Envy goes both ways. You think the bottom envy the up, but the up envy the bottom. And it's not even a matter of up, bottom and top, according to God's view. Sometimes we envy people's marriage. We see how well they get along, and maybe you're stuck in a marriage that's really dry and it's kind of lost its fire and its passion. And you see someone with a vibrant marriage and they've been married for 10 years and maybe you get a little jealous. Or maybe you're just out of school and all your other fellow college classmates found that job that they're looking for and you're still stuck praying and wondering, okay, God, where do you want me to go? Maybe you see certain possessions people have and you start to wonder why you're not at a certain place in life that you ought to be. So we envy people's jobs, we envy people's marriages, we envy people's happiness, their skills. It goes in all walks of life, all parts of life. Okay, let me tell you what envy is not. So that's what envy is. What is envy not? Okay, don't get confused, because sometimes you can get confused. Envy is not simply admiring or desiring something that you don't have. That's not what envy is. So let's say I don't have a car. Or let's say I don't have a spouse at this moment, and I look at this person, and let's say this person has a godly wife, and I say to myself, I don't have a wife. This is a really good person. They have a godly and beautiful wife. Maybe someday I want a godly and beautiful wife. That's not envy. That's totally not envy. And envy is not desiring something similar to what others have. But it can change really fast, so that's why you got to be careful. The danger is it can change really fast. When you desire something to the point you're being consumed, that's when you've slipped into the realm of envy. That's when you've crossed the line. Or when you desire the exact same thing someone has. I'm not talking about like if Norman has a particular type of car, I want that exact same type of car. That's not what I'm saying. There's a difference between this person has a godly wife, and that's admirable. And there's a difference between saying this person has a godly wife, and she ought to be mine. That particular wife got to be mine. That's not what it is. That's exactly what envy is. So envy is not desiring something similar to what someone has or something that you don't have, but when you want something, the exact same thing your neighbor has, something that does not belong to you rightfully in God's eyes, that's when you slipped into the realm of envy. So God's command is found in Exodus 20, verse 17. It says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or female servant, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." So I know it says donkey, and you might be chuckling, donkey, but that's like the equivalent of our Ferrari or our car this day. Back in ancient times, they didn't have Ferraris or cars, right? So they said donkey. Sometimes you see someone driving down the street, and you start to envy what they got, right? So pretty much God's saying, don't envy anything that's your neighbor's. So next, I just want to take a moment to help us understand the why. Why is envy wrong? So there's three things. The first thing is that when you start to envy, you start to become ungrateful. When you envy, you fail to see what you already have, what God's already blessed you with, all the blessings that you've been given. So you got a lot of blessings, but because of this one thing you don't have, you're willing to blind yourself from all the good things you have and be upset about that one small thing, right? You start to become ungrateful. You don't thank God for the things you have. You don't thank the people who have invested in your life. The second thing is you start to become selfish. When you envy and you're jealous of people, it really is all about you. You don't consider their feelings or you don't rejoice in the blessings of others. So let's say you're a person who doesn't have a particular job and your friend gets this job and you're upset that you think you should deserve something similar, but you haven't got it yet. What you've done in that moment is you've failed to rejoice in someone else's blessings. You've failed to rejoice in someone else's happiness. The third thing is that when you enter the realm of jealousy, you no longer regard the sacred. And what I mean by that is every gift that God has given you, or every gift that God has given someone else, whether they believe in him or not, is a gift that is sacred. So marriage is sacred, your possessions is sacred, your property is sacred in God's eyes, and God's given that to you. And when you desire something that's rightfully not yours, it's like if you were to go downstairs on Christmas Day and if I see a Norman's present, I just rip his name off and just decide to bring it back to my room. Or if someone were to take my present, I'd be like, get your hands off my present. Don't you see my name on it? That's kind of what it is in God's eyes. That's what you're doing when you enter the realm of jealousy. So next, I want you to look into my life. I'm going to be vulnerable with you. I'm going to be honest. And I want to share with you some of my personal jealousies that I've had to overcome in my life. So one thing that I was jealous about growing up was my body type. I'm not a tall person. I'm a really short person, all right? And growing up, it kind of sucked because I remember in basketball, like gym class, I tried to throw baskets, and it was like a T-Rex trying to throw baskets, like really small, and I could never make the dang shot. So whenever the coach told me we're doing basketball in gym class, I would go to the gym first, look, oh, we're doing basketball. I'd pretend I didn't have my clothes, go back to the change room, come out, be like, coach, I just forgot my gym clothes, and we're doing basketball. What a coincidence. That's what I used to do. And when I was at grocery stores, I don't know who designed grocery stores, but for some reason, all the brands that I like are like on the top shelf. So when I'm trying to reach, and you white folks, God made you nice and tall so you can just reach, but for us Asians, we have trouble. So sometimes I look around before anyone comes and I try to reach. Sometimes I pretend to yawn just to see how far I can reach without looking awkward. And then when no one's around, I'll do like a super jump and try to grab the thing off the top shelf and pretend nothing happened. So I really did envy people's height growing up. I used to envy people's body type in terms of strength. Because you're short, you're not as strong. And growing up in high school, I got picked on quite a bit, and it kind of sucked. So what I do, you guys know I like boxing, I like training, I like Muay Thai. I like to train, and it kind of sucked because growing up, I've always told God this, like if it was a card game, God, this person has dealt the bigger hand. This person who is strong is using his power in a jerkish kind of way for people who are not as strong. So I would train extra hard. I would train extra hard, and if I was lucky, I'd be maybe close to their natural strength. And this person didn't train at all. I trained so hard, and maybe I was just getting near. So I envied people in that sense. I even envied people's skin types. Growing up, I used to get like acne and breakouts, and certain people, not even a single dot or a pimple on their face. I used to get some breakouts, and people say, if you want to get rid of your acne, you got to eat clean, you got to drink water, you got to get good sleep, you got to exercise. I drank water, I ate healthy, I exercised, I got good sleep, and I still got breakouts. And that guy over there, he does the opposite of everything I do, and he has perfectly clear skin. Like, God, if this is a card game, this is rigged, and he's got the perfect set, and I'm working hard here, but... So I start to envy people and get jealous. I even envied people's intellect. My one friend, old friend from high school, he was great. He was Asian too. He was great at math. And I know that most Asians are good at math, but when God made Tim, he's like, Tim's going to be a different kind of Asian. He's not going to be that good at math. So I would stay up past midnight working on looking through my math textbooks. I was trying really hard, but I just didn't have the aptitude for it. I didn't have a natural gift for it, although I tried really hard. And some other Asians and people in the class, it was a breeze for them. They got it done in like 30 minutes. I was hours trying to study, trying to grasp it. I was really trying, but I just didn't have the natural gift for it. So it's easy to become jealous of even small things that you don't have. All right, next. What was my escape from jealousy? Okay, there's one verse that really hit me hard. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 to 8. See, it even has my name on it because that's what I need, all right? And it's what you need. It says, but godliness with contentment. So if you have godliness and contentment, it says that is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. So God's saying the greatest gain you can have if you have godliness and you're content. He's saying that's the greatest thing you have in life. You can't take your car with you. You can't take your marriage with you. You can't take your wealth with you. But if you have God
and you're content with whatever comes in life, he says you're going to be a happy person. He even says that is great gain. See, envy and jealousy always saps your energy. It takes life from you, but contentment, it fulfills you from the inside out. And the thing is, the more godliness I have, the more I start to know what Jesus did for me and how Jesus feels about me. I didn't feel like I was the most strong, the most handsome, the most talented, but when I start to know who Jesus was and how he died for me and how he thought I was strong, I was worthy, I was valuable. I always tried to live to measure up to people and never thought I was good enough. But Christ says, you're good enough, you're worthy because of what I've done for you. Not in yourself, but because of what I've done for you. Because I died on the cross to cleanse you, and you are beautiful in my eyes. So the more I had godliness, the more I had contentment. So if you guys feel like you've never had much contentment in life, you feel like you've been kind of wandering into the realm of jealousy, that's because you haven't had contentment. And you haven't had contentment because you haven't found greater godliness. The more godliness you have in knowing who God is and what he did for you, the more you'll be fulfilled from the inside out and the more contentment you'll have. He's saying those two things are great gain. That's what the verse is talking about. If you have God and you're content, whatever life happens in life, you'll overcome. And even the last part, it says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content. He's saying if you have food and clothing, you should be happy. So he's saying jealousy usually doesn't come from a place of absolute depravity. Because most of us have food and clothing. Most of us have the basic necessities of life that other people do not. And he's saying, look at the things you have. If you have these things, you should be happy. You got a roof to sleep in, roof to sleep under. You have food, you have clothing, you have friends. You should be happy, God's saying. All right, next, I just want to go over quickly three signs of jealousy. The first sign of jealousy is bitter dissatisfaction. You're no longer fulfilled, you're empty. And in that emptiness, you go to desperate measures to try to attempt to fill it. The second is, once you're jealous, you start to develop a hatred or disgust for yourself, either yourself or others or God. You see what you don't have, and you start to despair over it. If you're dealt the hand of cards, you're saying, okay, this is not working out because I'm not playing these cards right. You get sick of yourself. Or you play the hand of cards and you look at your neighbor, says, he's got the better hand of cards. I'm disgusted with him. Or you look at God and say, you're the one shuffling these cards. And you start to resent God, right? So bitterness, you get resentment. And the last one's extremity, or just extreme. You go to extreme measures to try to get what you don't have. You go through extreme emotions and circumstances trying to fill that void. So those are the three things that you'll experience. And then I want to share with you a crazy story in the Bible. I was reading it the other day, and it was a crazy story. And it was a story about jealousy. And some of you may have read it. It's called Naboth's Vineyard. So there's a king in Israel. His name was Ahab. And this is a story of his jealousy over someone in the kingdom called Naboth. So the first verse 2 and 3 says, King Ahab said to Naboth, let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden, since it's close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard. Or if you prefer, I'll pay you whatever that vineyard's worth. So a king comes up to one of the commoners in Israel and says, I see you have a nice vineyard. It's close to my palace. I want it. And in exchange, I'll give you even a better vineyard than that, or I'll just give you money. So a few things to notice is this person is a king, and he's envying someone who's just a commoner. This king has already wealth. He offers to pay money. This king says he already has a lot of vineyards. He even has better vineyards, but he's going to this commoner and asking for this commoner's vineyard. Next, it says, but Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give the inheritance of my ancestors. So a little background, historical background. Back in the times of Israel, the land was sacred, and the land was a blessing given to God. God divided the land up and said, this is a blessing for you, and you shall give it to your children and their children. It's an inheritance for you. So this is, remember I talked about defiling the sacred, not being aware of the sacred. This is a sacred gift from God to this man, and this king is trying to defile it by asking to take it. Next verse, it says, so Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors. So the king laid on his bed, sulking and refused to eat.
Jezebel, his wife, said, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and cheer up. I'll get you the vineyard." Next verse says, "Proclaim a day of fasting." So this is their plot against Naboth. It says, "Proclaim a day of fasting. Seat Naboth in a prominent place." And then across from him, it says, "Seat two scoundrels and let those two people bring charges against him. Let them accuse him. Let's pretend, let's make a plot and scheme that they..." So these two people were going to witness that Naboth had cursed the God, cursed God of Israel, and cursed the king. And back in the old times, if you cursed the God of Israel or if you cursed the king, they would stone you to death. That was a death sentence. So let's say, let's put these two people here, let's make them be false witnesses and say that they heard him curse God, and we'll stone this person. The next verse says, "As soon as Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, 'Get up and take possession of the vineyard. He's no longer alive, but dead.'" Crazy story. True story, crazy story. And in that story, you see both bitterment, dissatisfaction, you see resentment, and you see extremity. You see him going to extreme means of getting what he does not have. And this person's a king, right? And this just goes to show that no matter who you are or what you have in life, if you don't have that godliness and that contentment, you're going to envy. And when you start to envy, you're going to have a bitter, empty life and go to extreme measures to try to fulfill that. So there's only ever two roads in life that you're going to face. You're either going to face jealousy or you're going to face contentment. And you're going to have the choice between those two. And as someone who is coveted, as someone who is jealous, as someone who's wrestled with envy, I can tell you that it's very, very tiring to try to be something you're not. It's very, very tiring to try to have something that does not belong to you. It's very, very draining. Envy always takes, but contentment gives life. And contentment in Jesus Christ gives life. So I want to just give you three practical steps of how you can wrestle with this. Let's say you're struggling with envy, you're struggling with jealousy. What are three practical things you can do? And these three steps, they all start with A. So if you just think of triple A, the first is acknowledge. Maybe you see something in your life that you're missing and you acknowledge it. You see something someone else has and you simply acknowledge it. That's totally fine. Acknowledge it. The next, it's okay to aspire. It's okay to see something someone else has and aspire and say, maybe someday I want something similar to that. And after that, you go ask God. You acknowledge that you have this desire. You aspire and want to be like someone, or you want to have something someone else has. And the last step, you need to go to God and ask God what is his will for this particular desire in your life, whatever it may be. What is God's will for this desire in your life? And based on however God answers, you'd be content with that. Because whether you receive it or not, you have contentment because you have godliness. And godliness because you have Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the only source of contentment and godliness in your life. One of my favorite stories is a real life story. How many of you guys heard of Nick, I don't know if his last name, Vujicic? Nick Vujicic? No? Some yes, some no, some yes, some no. Long story short, so Nick is a person who was born with no arms or legs. He was born with no arms or legs. And growing up, he struggled with suicide and depression. And growing up, he always heard stories that Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. And he was singing that, and he tells in the story that he questioned, "God, if you love all the little children of the world, then why did you make me? Why was I born with no arms and legs? Because I see all the other children playing with their fathers and their mothers in the playground, but I can never throw a ball. I can never catch a ball. I can never go and do things that other kids can do." So he grew up, and he came to the point of depression and jealousy and envy that he tried to commit suicide multiple times, but the suicides failed. And he's going through such struggle. And the irony is, he saw a lot of other people going through struggles in the same way as him. So what he did was he used his life and he used his suffering to start speaking inspiration, start speaking life to the hopeless. I remember a story he was saying in one of his videos that there was a girl in the hospital and she was dying, I think, because of an eating disorder. And she was very thin and pale. And then the little girl told him that, "I don't see what the purpose of living really is." And his response was, "How about you live so that the next girl sitting in this
in this hospital bed, you'll be the one to tell her that her life has purpose and meaning and hope. And then she responded, I think that'll be worth living for. She changed her life, and she's doing the same thing. And that's what Nick did. And Nick says it's because he found the contentment. It's because he found the godliness. It's because he found, even though he doesn't have all these things, he has a God who loves him and who died for him. So one really powerful thing that he said that always sticks with me, he said, I'm a lot happier and I'm a lot content, even with no arms and legs. I'm a lot happier than most people who have arms and legs, because I have Jesus Christ and I know what he's done for me. So I just want to encourage you, if you guys ever felt like you struggled in life, if you guys ever felt like you weren't beautiful enough, you weren't strong enough, you weren't talented enough, that God loves you, that he died for you, that he sees you as beautiful, and he values you, that he knows you, that he would even go to the cross and let his son die on the cross for you. If you ever felt like you've been dealt a hand that's not as good as someone else, just to know that in God's eyes, everyone is the same because of what Jesus has done. So I just want to give you that to think about. And I'm just going to close off in prayer. But before I close off in prayer, I'm going to give you just a moment of silence to reflect upon your life and pray to yourself. God, I thank you for all that. I know sometimes in life it's very easy to covet. It's very easy to be jealous of others, Lord. It's easy to see it and look at the people in the world and see what they have and see what we don't have and feel like we're inadequate, feel like we don't measure up. And I know it's easy to fall into the lie that without these things we can never find happiness, God. But the truth is we can find godliness and contentment in you and who you are and what you've done for us. We can find contentment because Jesus loved us and died on the cross for us, Lord. And I pray that we may continue to know you and be satisfied in you, even though we may not have everything we want in this life, that we have what's most important in this life. That's you, Father. May you continue to fill our hearts from the inside out, Lord. And may we choose contentment and godliness over jealousy and coveting, Father. Thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.